At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Lucky Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. Now, part of the Beeson Family Podcast, we've got a great podcast for you guys. Eli Becker, who's one of our good friends over at HXCBB, is going to be joining me in segment number two. We're going to be discussing all the wrinkles that we can expect with the Final Four, what this Final Four really says about college basketball, and why it shouldn't necessarily be an indictment if one team makes a Final Four as to why they're terrific and why one is awful. And I know that a lot of people are going to think that this is ACC slander. This also goes for the Mountain West. We have to call them out as well, but we're going to be diving into that. And I'm also going to talk with them about characteristics of Conference USA that maybe has led to a lot of these teams from Conference USA being prepared to make these tournament runs, as we saw North Texas win in the NIT. And we're going to be recapping that game here in a minute, which that was absolutely insane. And then in the final segment, we don't have any games that are going to be going down for this Wednesday because the NIT final is not until Thursday. On the podcast on Monday, I already gave you my initial Final Four look. I would not want to break down the same two games every single day because I'll just do that once again on Saturday. You've got the spreadsheet at GN_41 available to you if you missed my breakdowns on Monday, or if you want to just go back to the 3-27 Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, we've got you all covered there. So we've got that already on lockdown. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNNRS41. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. We didn't get in any Twitter questions today, and I will say, more time for Twitter questions than really ever before with the lack of games. So in the final segment, we did see some coaching moves. We did see some player news, guys entering into the transfer portal. I'll give you a roundup of that in the final segment. And I do have to do this podcast a little bit earlier, since the Greg Peterson Experience, that is on from 9 to midnight Pacific, midnight to 3 Eastern on VSiN. So I'm doing this before the end of the Utah Valley versus UAB game. UAB currently up in the first half of that one, but we've got no shortage of things to take a look at with regards to that North Texas versus Wisconsin game. So let's summarize what we got in one of the more insane college basketball games that you'll ever find.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
North Texas, a 56-54 no sweat winner, as this was just the pit of misery, dilly-dilly for Wisconsin. I mean, my goodness gracious, being someone from the great state of Wisconsin, I went to college at UW-Oshkosh, pretty much in the UW system. This was just really sad to watch. Our DK Nation pick, by the way, of North Texas, -1.5. That somehow cashes, but Wisconsin, 0 points the final 9 minutes and 8 seconds in their 56-54 loss to North Texas. Wisconsin scored 13 points in the entirety of the second half. And if you really want to go further for this Wisconsin bunch, they had 38 points up on the board with more than 5 minutes remaining in the first half. They scored 16 points the final 25 plus minutes of the game. I mean, you're just able to take a look at so many metrics, and it's just sad. Wisconsin had free throws in that time span in which they went scoreless as well. Wisconsin went 4 of 8 at the free throw line. Tyler Wall missed a pair. very late in the game for North Texas. Not like they lit the world on fire on offense either. They went 7-23 from three-point range. They were without their main big man in Abdu Usman, so Moulay Sissoko had to take over, and he had 7 points, 6 boards, so a relatively solid performance as Wisconsin lost the battle on the glass 36-32, and Wisconsin won the turnover battle 13-12, and Chucky Hepburn, how about his night? He starts out 5-5 from three. He missed each out of his final 8 shots and had 4 turnovers along the way. So, I mean, man, this is just one of those games where it's why you never say that it's over when it comes to sports betting, because you thought that this game was very much over the total when, oh, I don't know, with 9 minutes remaining, it's 54-46 and you need only about 14 to 15 more points, depending upon your number, to get the over, and well, it did not get there. So I will not apologize about having the under North Texas in this game. I will thank my blessings, and if you did have this one, my thoughts, my condolences to you, and good thing Wisconsin did not make the NCAA tournament, because they clearly showed in this one that it just would have been very much sad for the NCAA tournament had they let them in. By the way, on the front of UAB versus Utah Valley, not knowing how that game went, either way of this game, Utah Valley is going to be closing out the season, most likely with the best against the spread record in all of college basketball, entered in 24-9 against the spread. UConn enters into the Final Four 25-11-1 against the spread, and Florida Atlantic 24-11-1 against the spread. So a lot of your top against the spread teams are the ones that are still remaining and still playing basketball, but certainly interesting to take a look at this Utah Valley team and the way that they have been able to make you money all season long. So I'll be able to give you guys a little bit of a recap of that tomorrow. And at this point, the trends, we're going to throw them out just a little bit more just because, man, we're really down to it. We've got 4 college basketball games left this season, and we're going to be seeing some big games of impact out there at Houston, and a man that is going to be covering it all, Eli Becker over at Heat Check CBB. Coming up next, we're going to be chatting with them about the craziness of this college basketball season, all these Final Four teams, and the road that these teams have taken to be able to get there, and some of the characteristics of teams that have been making recent runs in the NCAA tournament, both from an individual team and a conference standpoint. That's up next right here on Coast Good Seats with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Peterson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
And we're back here in Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Greg Hibbs-Peters, and now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts. And it is great to be joined by this man as he is the founder and main operator over there at HeatCheckCBB, Eli Becker. He, much like myself, is out here on the West Coast covering all things college basketball. I know that he and his team all season long have done an amazing job taking a look at this great game of college basketball that we all know and love. And to be able to follow Eli on Twitter, that is at Becker, B-O-E-T-T-G-E-R is the spelling on that, underscore Eli. And then for the network, HeatCheckCBB, that's just at HeatCheckCBB all together. And Eli, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate hopping on with you, Greg, as always, and definitely looking forward to making the trip out to Houston for the Final Four here in a couple days.
Oh, that is going to be a lot of fun. And how excited are you for this Final Four? Because we've seen somewhat blankets out there being like, oh, there's no Duke, there's no Kentucky, boo-hoo, and everything like that. But I just take a look at the way that this season was. It was completely wide open. And I feel like the teams that were battle-tested both in the non-conference portion of it and saw different looks in conference as well. I think that that's a big key. Look at Conference USA with all the different tempos. Those were the teams that were really rewarded in this year's NCAA tournament. Some more malleable teams in terms of being able to change your style on the fly.
It was an interesting season. And I feel like this year's Final Four is the perfect culmination of what this season looked like, because it was chaos and we didn't know which teams were going to end up being in Houston after all. And I'll, of course, not come on here and have revisionist history. I said routinely on this podcast that I believe that Houston was the best team in the country, and I firmly believe that they were going to win the national title. And obviously that came to a screeching halt, and that's what the NCAA tournament is all about. And that is, at the end of the day, why we love this sport so much, because it is unpredictable and anything can happen on a given night, just like a 16 seed upsetting a 1, or a 15 seed getting to the Sweet 16, or 0 top 3 seeds even making it to the Final Four, which is just shocking to still wrap our heads around. But this is the second Final Four that I will attend in person as media. I love it because last year it was about the big names. It was about the biggest brands in the sport. You had two iconic coaches that coached in their final games, and Mike Krzyzewski and Jay Wright. You had probably the biggest brand in all of college basketball, and Kansas winning the national title, North Carolina being there. It was perfect. It was incredible. I think it's equally as fun to have some unsuspecting, unique names in there. And you touched on it a little bit, and there's a lack of blue blood in this Final Four. But I'll also say there's only one team in all of college basketball that's one of two teams now, North Carolina, that's won three national titles since 2004, and that's UConn. So it's not like we are without necessarily one of the major brands in the sport that's competing for the national title, and obviously just so happens that they are the overwhelming favorite. But if you don't look at what the front of the jersey says, and there are probably a lot of casual fans that won't have a whole lot of interest in FAU versus San Diego State, these two teams can absolutely play, and they've been consistent all year long. They've been dominant. I've absolutely loved watching both of the teams, and they might not show maybe the most aesthetically pleasing style of basketball, at least in San Diego State's case, but for a college basketball purist, this is ultimately what this sport is about, because you have, I would say, a pretty overwhelming favorite in UConn that's been here, that's won national titles, that has pedigree. You have some underdogs, and you have plenty of varying styles. I love when there are clashes of different styles. You have San Diego State, which is a rough and tumble team. They're just going to D up, and hopefully enough shots can fall. FAU and UConn are more scoring run oriented teams, and Miami is definitely kind of a isolation shot making oriented team around their superstar guard. So from a entertainment perspective, I think this is going to be a fantastic Final Four.
And I do think that UConn versus Miami game is so interesting. As joining me on the podcast, we have Eli Becker, because if Miami is able to win the national championship, they will have defied every single metric humanly possible. When we take a look at, all these top defenses that have won the NCAA tournament, because Miami let's call it what it is. They're just not there with their defense, but this offense has been a lightning rod here in the NCAA tournament. But now they have to go up against a UConn team that, in terms of road rebound rate, number one in all of college basketball. How do you view this game? Because I think that no Chad O'Meara can hang with one of Adama Sanogo along Donovan Clingan. I think the fact that there's two of those big men for UConn, that is where the real test is going to lie for Miami, trying to get O'Meara a little bit of help, because even for how great he is, he can't do it alone, in my opinion.
He's going to be massive in this game. He may end up determining who wins this game, because if he is able to show his presence down low, it probably gives Miami a decent shot at winning, just because Adama Sanogo and Donovan Clingan are so dominant. For my money, there isn't another center duo in the entire country that I would pick over these two. They're just both phenomenal, and we could very well see Donovan Clingan be an All-American in, I would say, the near future, maybe as soon as 2 years.
Zach Edey bump, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great comp right there. A lot of this game is going to come down to what both of these teams have played like of late. And we've seen UConn since the very start of the season in November, when they were just tearing teams apart. I watched them in Portland, and I was immediately wowed by them and thought that, given what they showed out of their 14-0 start to the season, that they were super legit. And one of the main reasons was because they just have these avalanche scoring runs. And we've seen that throughout this tournament. I believe Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated had some remarkable stat that UConn is outscoring its opponents through four games in the NCAA tournament by, I want to say, 37 points over just the first 5 minutes of the second half. That 37 points over the first 20 minutes of those games in the second half, it's just remarkable. And you pair that with Miami's so-so defense, I have a hard time seeing it, to be honest. I think a lot of it has to come down to Norchad Omir underneath, making sure he doesn't give up any easy baskets. But UConn is just a great scrambling team. I feel like when the plays break down, they have dudes like Andre Jackson, who's probably the best glue guy in the country. He's a freak athlete. He just does so many little things that contribute to winning. We've seen Joey Calcaterra just fill it up off the bench. Alex Caravan, I would say, is really unheralded. He's a 40% three-point shooter. They've got a lot of dudes who can connect from three-point land. Miami's going to have to be absolutely flying across the court and on the perimeter in particular, because all the credit in the world for the way they came back against Texas, but based on how I saw things play out, I really thought Texas kind of gave this game away and just had way too much isolation, particularly from their most experienced guys. Marcus Carr kind of going hero ball down the stretch and missing wide open guys. He had missed open layup opportunity to Serge Ibari Rice. Brock Cunningham taking some shots late out of the isolation. I thought Texas kind of self-imploded. That's not to discredit Miami's run. You have to give Jim Larrañaga all the credit in the world for what he's done and gotten this team to this spot, coming back and beating Drake and then beating some really good basketball teams in Indiana, Houston, and Texas. You have to give him a lot of credit. But Miami's not going to be able to benefit from maybe the ball sticking against Texas like it does in this upcoming game, because UConn just spreads it out too well. Their offense is just so dynamic, and they can just be so dangerous in addition to being an excellent offensive rebounding team, the second best offensive rebounding rate team in all of college basketball. So even in the rare times that they miss, they're probably going to get a second crack at it as well.
Yeah, I just take a look at this UConn team. Everyone on that roster rebounds. They've got so much balance, and I think balance is the name of the game for Florida Atlantic as well. As Eli, I know that you've got a lot of affinity for the Mountain West, and it's nice to see San Diego State get in the Final Four. And for San Diego State, I really think that if they're going to be able to win this game, they are going to need to step up a little bit more on offense, because there's no question about it. This defense has been prolific, but I just can't see them allowing the same three-point shooting percentage they have the last two rounds. 5 of 44 is what Creighton and Alabama combined to shoot, and now they go up against a Florida Atlantic team that they don't necessarily do one thing great. They don't have one guy that is averaging like 20 points per game or anything like that. It's a whole is greater than the sum of its parts approach, and I think that makes it so interesting, because while Matt Bradley is the top scorer for San Diego State, the Aztecs got here with them really not playing great basketball last two games as well, and I think that sets up for a game that maybe the folks that are fans of college basketball blue bloods might not love, but one that I know that you're going to thoroughly enjoy, and one that I certainly am as well, seeing Florida Atlantic and San Diego State battle it out.
This should be an exceptional game. I'm really looking forward to this one. I love the different styles that we have. One of the things that I would say is pretty rare, at least in this stage of the tournament, oftentimes where benches really shrink. The team might play 9, 10 guys throughout the season and give them 10-plus minutes a game. San Diego State and Florida Atlantic are both doing this in the NCAA tournament, and they are two of the deepest teams in the country. Last I checked, I believe FAU was second in the entire nation as far as bench points per game. San Diego State, they said it throughout the year, they're going to be doing hockey subs. They get plenty of contributions from their guys off the bench. Jaden Ledee, who came over as a high major talent in the offseason, didn't necessarily put up huge numbers this year. He had a really big game against Creighton and had buckets when they desperately needed them. Adam Seiko is a knockdown shooter at a smaller sample size. Contributions from Aweka Rope, who just recently fouled out and didn't score a single point, I believe, against Alabama, but I don't think that's a game that they can win without him. And that's just the MO of San Diego State. But these teams are just so deep, they stay fresh. And that's the thing about both of these teams, is because they have such deep benches. And Dusty May of Florida Atlantic has spoken about this throughout the year and told me back in January that this was true, is although FAU now, they're sitting at 35-3, they're going to end the season with more wins than any other team in college basketball. Although that's the case, the win-loss record is what it is. There have been a lot of close games that the Owls have played, and there have been a lot of comeback games that the Owls have had. And they've had to come back and win each of their four NCAA tournament games, particularly the Memphis first round game where they were on the ropes with just a few seconds left. And Dusty May told me back in January that this team's biggest strength is their depth and their selflessness. And when one guy checks in, they're absolutely all hands on deck and everybody stays fresh. So they don't have an under 12 to under 8 timeout lull in the second half. They don't necessarily have that. That's when they put their foot on the gas. And it's a pretty similar deal with San Diego State, but more so on the defensive side. So FAU's certainly the more balanced team. They are what they are as far as efficiency, say, top 30 nationally on both ends of the floor. San Diego State, for my money, is the best defensive team, even better than UConn in the Final Four field. They're so dominant. Anything that goes towards Nathan Mensah's direction, even if it isn't blocked, it's altered. The perimeter defense, they're so quick. They close out so well. It's part of this program's culture. They're second nationally in three-point defense. It might not be necessarily the most aesthetically pleasing game that people want to see, and that might rub people the wrong way, but I don't know if you're going to find a more hotly contested match between these two teams because they want it so bad. And they are so deep, and there's so many different contributors who could step up.
I think that this is going to be an absolutely tremendous matchup, and it's just so interesting seeing the Mountain West and Conference USA do battle here in the NCAA tournament. And I want to get your thoughts on this, as we do have Eli Becker already, Check CBB, joining me on the podcast, because we're seeing a lot of revisionist history with regards to these conferences. Everyone's saying, we just completely poo-pooed the ACC way too much because Miami has made a Final Four run. I certainly do think that the folks that are banging the drum for Conference USA being underrated, they're not wrong, because we saw going into the NIT semifinal on Tuesday a combined one loss from the conference across all tournaments. They certainly have shown their worth, but the way that I view it is the Big 12 was clearly the number one conference in all of college basketball, and then every other conference among the power conferences, it felt like they were pretty equally matched. I don't think we should be necessarily raising up the ACC because of one big tournament run. And if we do that, we also have to do that for a Mountain West that every team not named San Diego State in the postseason was just absolutely dreadful.
It's always a fascinating talking point with conferences as far as postseason success or failures. The ACC, to its credit, has overperformed in the NCAA tournament for years now, and this goes back at least 5, 10, even beyond that, ever since the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have been out of the national championship picture, which now has been over two decades, shockingly enough. The ACC has been right there. The Big East has stepped up in a big way, and SEC and Big 12 have also performed pretty admirably in this tournament. But it's a challenge to assess a conference's strength based on one single tournament, and that's kind of the politically correct answer, so to speak. But so much of this tournament comes down to matchups. It comes down to how a region unfolds. It's not to even remotely discredit FAU, because I have watched the Owls, I would say, as much as any other team in college basketball this year. I fell in love with them very early on in the season and have not been let down once. But they faced a 16 seed in the second round. Like, let's call it what it is. And in different cases, Miami Would they win four consecutive games, you know, one out of 100 times again if this tournament were to be played 100 times? I don't know. They're on the ropes against Drake. I know that their win probability in that game was down to about 8%. They were on the ropes in that one. It is such a random sort of tournament, and that's, to be quite honest, that's why we wound up with these four teams, all of which are four seed or below. That's just kind of the status quo of this. But if you look at a multi-year sample, then you probably start to gather some insights. I cover the Mountain West. I began covering the Mountain West several years ago, and I'll be the first to tell you that this conference has struggled mightily, probably more than any other conference in college basketball in the NCAA tournament. And although San Diego State reaching the Final Four is huge for the Mountain West, and obviously realignment is in a whole other conversation, I don't think it necessarily is here to undo some of the rungs that the Mountain West has had in the NCAA tournament in recent years. And we're here now, the last 2 years, the Mountain West has sent eight teams to the NCAA tournament, and only one, this San Diego State team, has even won a game. And then take the ACC, for example, which pretty cut and dry was a poor conference this year. They're going to finish the entire season ranked below the Mountain West as far as KenPom is concerned. They had, I want to say, six teams ranked outside of the net top 100. It was not a good year for the ACC. Some people want to justify that it was by Miami reaching the Final Four, and if that's the argument that people want to stand on, then more credit to them. It's too random. The NCAA tournament is random. I think you need to give the Conference USA a lot of credit because they do have some really high caliber teams that have proved it in the postseason. And even before this year, the Conference USA has had some really big NCAA tournament performances. They've had North Texas pull off a first-round upset. They've had Middle Tennessee pull off a first-round upset twice. They had UAB do it just a handful of years ago. They've performed in March. Mountain West really hasn't, and we certainly know what the Pac-12 and Big Ten have mostly done these last two decades. So I guess that all sums up my take on just conference outlook as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned.
And I think the biggest thing we can say for Conference USA as well, some of the cast-offs from that conference, like Marshall, like Southern Miss, year number one that they leave Conference USA and go to the Sun Belt, they have instant success at the Sun Belt level where they were bottom feeders in Conference USA as well. So I think that that's as good of credit as we could give that conference as possible. And Eli, we just have to give you a lot of credit because you and everyone else over there at HeatCheck CBB do amazing work. I know you're going to be covering the Final Four for HeatCheck CBB in Houston. And on top of actually covering the games, I know that a lot of things when it comes to the offseason get done at the Final Four. There's lots of meetings that are have and a lot of teams that they build themselves up for next year's run. Those runs are actually built at the Final Four this year where they're not competing. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Busy time of year with all the coaching movement, transfer portals heating up, and oh, by the way, we've got a Final Four to cover. So myself and Brian Ralph will be headed out to Houston here in a few days to cover the Final Four. We'll have plenty of stories on each of the four teams. We love them all. We think that they're all very deserving of this stage and can't wait to cover their coaches and players and get plenty of interviews, written articles, and podcasts while we're out in Houston and enjoy the final three NCAA tournament games of the year. So we're absolutely looking forward to it. All of our content can be found on HeatCheckCBB.com. Our social media handles are at HeatCheckCBB as well.
And Eli and everyone else over there at HeatCheckCBB, they've joined me on the podcast all throughout the year, and I'm sure that they will be joining me quite a bit during the offseason as well. They put in just absolute A-plus work, and every single time we're able to get any of them aboard, it is amazing, just like we had Eli on today. So big thanks to Eli Becker over at HeatCheckCBB for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, no college basketball games going down on Wednesday, so I'll give you a recap of all the coaching news and as all been happening in the transfer portal over the last 24 hours.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops-Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. Well, we are getting down to the end of the college basketball season. We have absolutely no games that are going to be going down for Wednesday, but what we do have is quite a bit that is still happening in the college basketball realm, as there are many coaches that are being hired, fired, what have you. So I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Tuesday. Seems as though Dave Paulson is heading back to the Patriot League and is going to become the next coach over at Holy Cross. He spent the last few seasons as an assistant in the northeast part of the country. Last season, he was actually the associate slash assistant coach over at Fordham, was able to really help them out, and he had quite a bit of success while he was at Bucknell, someone who has been just out there on the East Coast for a very long time. I think that this is a very good hire. You take a look at him, and he was able to lead Bucknell to the NCAA tournament multiple times, and I think that they actually did get either 11 or 12 seed in the 2013 NCAA tournament, got Bucknell the 25 plus wins during the 2010-11, 11-12, and 12-13 season. Spent quite a while at George Mason, could never really get them over the hump, but that is a very good hire for a Holy Cross team that ever since Mr. Bill Carbody stepped down, they have been just all out of sorts. So that is going to be massive for them. We are seeing more guys declare for the NBA draft as well. We've got a couple other coaching moves that we're going to be hitting on. It looks like Mark Madsen, the coach over at Utah Valley, is most likely going to be taking the coaching job at Cal. That is something that has yet to be finalized, but it feels like that's in the works, and we saw Utah Valley in action on Tuesday, so we shall see there. But we do know that Keontae George is going to be declaring for the NBA draft. Yeah, figured that this was going to be the case with him. He averaged 15 points, 4 boards, 2.8 assists over at Baylor last season. Wasn't necessarily the most efficient scorer in the world, and he did see a drop-off in the final 5 games of the season. He had one game in which he scored more than 9 points out of the final 5 that he played in.
Much of this was due to injury. He was much better towards the beginning part of the season. He was playing while he was less than 100%, so we shall see what happens there. Coleman Hawkins is another guy that is going to be entering into the NBA draft as well. He is going to be maintaining his eligibility, so we'll see what the market holds for him, because he was a very versatile player over at Illinois this last season, was able to supply the team with 9.9 points, 6 boards as a 6'10 combo player, 3 assists, pop 3, shot about 20% from 3-point range, a block, and a steal per game. One of those just prototypical glue guys that he doesn't necessarily do one thing terrific, but he's able to do a lot of things well. Jameer Young coming back to Maryland is very big, as I mean, give credit where credit is due to Mr. Willard over there at Maryland. He did a very nice job in year number one, and one of the big reasons why is because he was able to land Jameer Young in the transfer portal. Did it all for Maryland this last year. 16 points, 4.5 boards, 3 assists. They're looking rock solid going into next year. Was a very consistent night in, night out player for a Maryland team that was solid on defense. Offense, when they would leave the friendly confines, sometimes wasn't necessarily the world's greatest, but I do like what I saw from him, so that is going to be one of fascination. This is also going to be one of fascination, what the transfer portal is going to be holding for many of these guys, like a Jaden Epps. We were talking about Coleman Hawkins a second ago, the fact that he is entering into the NBA draft after spending last year at Illinois, and Epps, he was a relatively solid guard when he was out there for Illinois. He dealt with some injuries, and I think that there was just a point where he was away from the team a little bit in general. He was able to supply the team with 9.5 points. Did fall out of favor towards the back half of the season. Like, in the NCAA tournament game against Arkansas, he played just 6 minutes in that one, so you can tell that things became a little bit sour with the milk over there, so we're going to see what the transfer portal holds for him. We did see a commitment for Jeremiah Oden. He has decided that he is going to be going from Wyoming, and he is going to be transferring over to DePaul. This past season, Mr. Oden was able to supply Wyoming with 9.5 points, 3.5 boards at 6'8". He's able to shoot about 34.5% from 3-point range, was a rock solid player, and actually is a native of the state of Illinois, so that is going to be big for them. And this is also a big get for a program that is no stranger to the transfer portal. Jaquan Walton, who is one of the top players for Wichita State this last season, he has decided that he is going to be going to Alabama. And second straight year that an SEC team is diving in and taking someone from Wichita State. Last year, it was Ricky Council who decided to go over to Arkansas. Now it's Jaquan Walton heading to Alabama. Very nice stat sheet. Suffer shot 40% from 3, 14 points, 5 boards, 2 assists per contest. Someone who began his career at Georgia, spent some time at the junior college level, so he's a very well-traveled man, but that is big for an Alabama team that had all sorts of depth this last season. They brought in Mark Sears. He was able to have good success for the team, so I do like what Alabama's building. Probably do want to be trying to play a little bit less of a 3-point happy style, but Nate Oates has been doing a terrific job with them. Tamar Bates, he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well for Mr. Bates this last season. He was primarily a come-off-the-bench-and-hit-some-threes sort of guy, as he was able to average 6 points, shot 37.5% from distance, 92.5% at the free throw line, so he is going to be a good add for someone that's looking for some instant scoring coming in off the bench. Roddy Anderson, who had a nice year at UC San Diego, he should be a guy that many teams are looking at via the transfer portal. He was playing at UC San Diego this last year. Not efficient with his scoring, only shot about 30% for 3, but 13 points, 1.2 steals per contest as a gentleman playing his first year of D1 college basketball this last season, so that's big, and it does look like he's probably going to be going to Boise State, a school that has done a very solid job in the transfer portal in recent years. They brought in Marcus Shaver a few seasons ago from Portland, and that was one that worked out very well, so we will see if this one works out. Terrell Strickland, he was playing over at James Madison, and he has decided that he is going to be playing for Rod Strickland, as he has decided that he is going from James Madison to play for what I think is of relation to him. Now, I am not sure if this is relation to him or not, but with Mr. Strickland, he was able to register about 3 points per contest when he was at James Madison. This last year was actually a starter during the 2020-21 season. Saw his production fall off quite a bit after he was averaging 1.6 steals, 5.5 points as a true freshman. This last year did supply a little bit over a steal per contest, but was utilized for only about 12 or so minutes per contest, so we'll see what the market holds for him. Austin Nunez, he was dealing with injury towards back half of this last year for Arizona State. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, was a top 100 recruit that saw a little bit of a role with the team. Coming in off the bench, he shot about 38% from three, 4.5 points per contest. He's got a good skill set, but at the same time, you probably do want to see him ascend just a little bit more, and he has decided that he is going to be trying out the transfer portal. And Kareem Thompson, he was playing at Oral Roberts this last year. He has decided that he is going to be doing so as well. Was a rock-solid glue guy for this team, a part of that team that made the Sweet 16 two seasons ago, 8.5 points, 5.5 boards, shot 39% from three-point range. So I do like what he's able to bring to the table, and Western Michigan has wised up. We have seen a lot of guys from the D2 level come in and have great success at the D1 level, and they're going to not step too far out. They're going to be looking in their backyard on this one. Chancey Willis Jr., he was playing at Saginaw Valley State. He was able to register about 12 points. He had nearly 5 assists per contest. He is going to be heading over to Western Michigan. We've seen the track record of success with a lot of these guys that they go from the D2 level to the D1 level. He's familiar with the area. I do think that that is a very good move that is being made out there. It's going to be interesting to see what the market is going to be for Andre 3000 Henry. He was playing over at UC Irvine this last year. Zotzop for the Anteaters. A relatively solid big man that just didn't see a ton of minutes this last year. 3.5 points, right around 2.5 boards. He's able to provide quite a bit in terms of versatility, but just could never get that set role with the team. So he's decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Also, I was talking about Terrell Strickland going to play for Rod Strickland. Ty Strickland is also going to be doing so as well. Once again, I am not sure if these are his kids, if these are like cousins, what have you, of Rod Strickland, but it's going to be the Strickland family over at Long Island this coming year. And Ty Strickland actually began his career over at Wisconsin very, very long ago. And this last year at Georgia Southern, he was solid. He was able to give the team right around 7.5 points, a little bit more of a defense-oriented player, was able to chip in there. A steal per contest has never really been a great three-point shooter or anything like that, but certainly a guy that could be able to step in, help out a team, so I do think that that's big. Both of the Drame brothers from LaSalle may have decided that they're going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. These two guys, they were a part of that Elite Eight St. Peter's run this last year, and for the Drame brothers, it was Fusami who was able to supply a little bit more this year, but I'd argue is a little bit disappointing for both as they shot a combined about 28.5% from three-point range. Fusani Drame, 8.8 points, 5.3 boards, and a steal per contest. Hassan, 6.5 points, 4.3 boards, and a steal per contest out of him as well. Neither of these guys necessarily dominated the glass, so we're going to be seeing quite a bit of changes over there. They have both decided that they're going to be entering into the transfer portal. Would not be surprised if they are going to be a package deal on that. Keenan Hodges, he was one of the primary guys over at Eastern Illinois this last year. He's decided that he is going to be staying within the OVC. He's going to be heading over to Tennessee State for Hodges this last year. 14.5 points, 2.7 assists. Nice stat sheet stuffer. Actually began his career at Three Rivers of Missouri at the non-D1 level. Made the step up and, quite frankly, was one of the few guys for Eastern Illinois that delivered much of anything whatsoever. Shot about 35.5% from three-point range. So that is a good addition for a Tennessee State team that has done a nice job of being able to pull these guys in from other mid-major programs and have them really fit what they're looking to do. Jamari Thomas, he was averaging 7 points, a little bit over 2 assists this last season at UNC Wilmington. He's heading to Norfolk State. Shot about 34% from three-point range, and this is very big for a Norfolk State team that has made quite a few NCAA tournaments recently. They did not this last year because their defense really fell off. UNC Wilmington, a very slow, methodical team that prides itself on defense, so I do think that this is going to be a good get for Norfolk State trying to be able to get back to the NCAA tournament. TJ Bickerstaff, solid rebounder at Boston College this last year, was able to register 5.2 points, 5.5 boards. He has decided that he is going to be entering the transfer portal, as is Kai Kai Tandy, who was playing this last season at Xavier for Tandy. He was a Big East All-Freshman a few seasons ago during the 2019-20 season, was supplying about 6.5 points per game, shooting about 35.5% from three. Last 2 years, he played a combined 27 games, averaging just over 2 points per contest. You tell that he just was not a fit with his Sean Miller style, and really, Xavier was not going to their bench whatsoever, so he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Pair of guys that weren't getting a whole heck of a lot of burn over at Iona, with Tobin Anderson now taking over. I've decided that they're going to be entering in the transfer portal in Keithier Florence, along with Michael Jefferson. Jefferson averaged 2 points per game, Florence a half a point per contest, and we can expect to see more of these exoduses coming in recent days and recent weeks, so we're going to be interested to see what happens there. AJ Storr, he is storing up buckets for whatever team he is going to be going to. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, as you also saw Kobe King, rarely used gentleman over at St. John's. He is also entering in the transfer portal. As we know, Slick Rick Pitino is taking over the program, and for Storr this last year, he averaged right around 8.5 points per game, shot just below 40% from 3-point range, but the way that he came on down the stretch is really what you do want to be taking a look at with him from January 25th on. So final 13 games of the season, shot about 35.5% from three, was registering 12.5 points, was very much being utilized heavily. So there's probably going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on Isaiah Rivera, as well as he was playing this last year at Colorado State, was able to supply 8.5 points, 3.5 boards, was a starter for the team as a career 39.7% 3-point shooter while standing right around 6'5". So there certainly is going to be quite a few suitors for his services. There's no doubt going to be a lot of people that want figuratively and literally the biggest player in all of college basketball in Jamarian Sharp. At 7'5" last year, he led all of college basketball in blocks per game with 4.1, 7.7 rebounds, 7.5 points, no doubt. A little bit of a project when it comes to the offensive side of things. On defense, he has been absolutely tremendous. We are going to be seeing what the market is holding for him, and I do think that he's going to be able to move up a level if he do wants to. You had Mohamed Diarra, who was playing this last year at Missouri at 6'10", just really didn't see a ton of minutes for Missouri, right around 3.2 points, 3.3 boards. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal after he was one of the more highly touted junior college transfers in all of college basketball last season. TJ Weeks, who feels like he's been at UMass for forever, he has decided that he is entering in the transfer portal. Last year as a starter, right around 8.5 points. Did shoot 34% from 3-point range of career, 36.5% 3-point shooter. So someone that's able to create in terms of a scoring aspect is going to be out there along with Zeke Montgomery. He last year was playing at Bradley. He was a solid starter for them, shooting 42.5% from 3, 8 points, 3.5 rebounds. He's another guy that is going to be out in the open. Like I said, these moves are coming very hot and heavy, as you're also going to be seeing on the transfer portal a pair of guys from Auburn and Chase Westerly, along with Yohan Traore. Neither guy necessarily saw a lot of burn. Both of these guys were guys that were relatively highly recruited, but just could never really ascend. They both decided that they are going to be entering into the transfer portal, along with the big man of Southern Utah, Jason Spurgeon. Their coach, towards the back half of the season, decided to take the job at Bowling Green and Todd Simon. And Spurgeon, he was the big guy for the team, figuratively and literally, starting in 72 games last two seasons. This past year, 10 points, 6 boards, 1.7 blocks per contest. Not a guy that is going to go out there and stretch a floor, but he was very big for what the team was able to do this past season. So it's going to be interesting to see where he lands, along with Bryce Williams. He was a part of a Charlotte team that was one of the slowest in all of college basketball, but even with Charlotte being a bottom 10 team in terms of possessions per game, he still put up good numbers. Shot 39.7% from 3, 13.8 points, a little bit over 5 rebounds, 6'7", bit of a do-it-all player. So I'm very fascinated to see what happens here. This, I think, is a good addition for Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has been able to make a living off of guys with some good versatility, and Makai Long is certainly one of those guys, as he this last year was playing at Old Dominion, so he is from that part of the country. 8.5 rebounds, 10.7 points, shot about 36% from 3-point range as a 6'7", do-it-all sort of player. So I think that that makes a whole lot of sense, and I think that that is going to be a big addition for them this offseason. We also saw of UMBC, Ya'obeng Menza decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal line. At 6'7", he did a nice job of being able to hit the glass for the team, right around 6.5 boards, was able to supply 8.5 points from 3-point range, and not a guy that is any sort of a threat literally shot 7% from three-point range over the last two seasons, but someone that I do like in terms of his upside, and he decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Keenan Menifield, he has decided that he is going to be going portaling as well. As this last season for Menifield, he was over at Washington, and he was one of their top scorers. He was able to supply 10 points, 3 assists, had a very big start to the season, cooled off towards the middle part of the season, and then picked it up towards the back half of the campaign, was able to supply a little bit over a steal per game as well. So I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on his services. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on Nambari Burnett, a former top 40 recruit that just has never been able to find his footing. Missed all the 2021-22 season due to injury. Came back this last year for Alabama and gave the team 5.5 points, shot about 32%. From three-point range, but could never carve out that set role. He has decided that he is going to be in the transfer portal, very much an upside guy for whoever wants to take a shot there. Randy Tucker, he was one of the better players at UW-Green Bay this last season, actually began his career at the junior college slash NAIA level, and for Green Bay, Mr. Tucker was able to supply 8.5 points, 4 rebounds, which was sadly one of the top marks in all of college basketball, and he's going to be playing for Niagara. He was playing in a very slow tempo style this past season at UW-Green Bay, so that is going to be suiting him very well, and we're seeing quite a few guys that have decided that they are going to be hitting the transfer portal from that Charlotte regime, as Ali Khalifa, one of the more versatile players in college basketball at 6'10", has decided that he is going to be doing so as well. 6'10", he gave Charlotte last year 11.7 points, 6.3 rebounds, 2.7 assists, all while shooting 38% from three-point range. I do like his overall game, so that is going to be a fascination, along with where Vanderbilt's Trey Thomas is going to be going. Thomas, he was able to give the team right around 6 points per contest this last year, and spent about half the season coming in off the bench, spent half the season as a starter, and he was really able to see some good minutes towards the middle part of the season. If you take a look at the start of January through February, in those 16 games, he was able to start 12 of them, shot 32.5% from three in that time span, was able to give the team right around 7 to 7.5 points per game, very much a streaky guy, but a guy that I do think has some upside. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. And then one other move of note that we did see from college basketball on Tuesday, John Gallagher. You may remember him as the coach of Hartford when they were able to make the NCAA tournament. Hartford now is going to be a D3 program. Days before the start of the season, he felt like everything that was going on was wrong, and he decided to pretty much bolt the program, and now he is going to be the head coach at Manhattan. As we recall, Manhattan, they canned their coach, Steve Masiello, literally 2 weeks before the start of the season, and going to be very interesting to see what we get out of Manhattan for this upcoming season, because even with all the turmoil, they were actually one of the best against the spread teams in all of college basketball. I have to expect that there's going to be quite a bit of roster turnover with that regard, but take a look at John Gallagher, and he was able to have a winning record in 4 out of his last 5 years at Hartford, led them to that NCAA tournament, and for Manhattan, they're out there in the Metro Atlantic, which is an area that John Gallagher knows very well, so this actually could be a relatively solid fit. Just a question of what sort of a roster are you going to get. Gallagher, certainly a coach that he had his teams playing quite a bit of defense and playing a little bit more low tempo. So that's what we all saw in college basketball on Tuesday in terms of a news site. And that will wrap things up for this edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. And even though the games are wrapping up, I will be with you guys every single day, all 365 days this season. So if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks once again to our good friend Eli Becker over at HXCBB for joining me in the last segment. I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season, and that means I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow along with the offseason. So thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.